financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rahm.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. I'm Dr. Frances Rahm, and my guest slash partner host today is somebody I really want to introduce to you. She's somebody that I'm very grateful to have on our side, and we call her our public access specialist. So you may have heard her on the phone. She may have called you or emailed you, but I'd like for you to meet Deborah Emerson.
So nice welcome, to meet Deborah. All of you too.
Thank you. Thanks for doing this. So, you know, to come clean, I have wanted to do this kind of a show with you for a long time to really introduce you to people and talk about a little bit about how we work together to get the word out about financial wellness through TV and radio. But because we have a holiday coming up, I wanted to do the show today and just talk to people about Thanksgiving, not about money, just about Thanksgiving and all the things that we might be grateful for, and a fun story that that you might not have heard somewhere else, just like most of the things we tell you. So Deborah's done a little research. I've done a little research. And it turns out that I'd like to tell you a Thanksgiving story that you will be able to share with your family without getting into an argument, I hope.
Around the dinner table. Maybe.
I hope. Around the dinner table. Exactly. So let me just start by saying, I just want to play quick word association, and I will tell people I did not prep Deborah for this. She has no idea what's coming. She's being clandestine in the room. Okay. With her headphones on, right? Okay. Quick word association. Name one thing you're grateful for.
My job with you.
Oh, come on. Really? Thank you.
Okay. I know. It's true. I love working with you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm grateful for my home, for my dog, for my inner world, and the love I can share with everyone on the outside world.
Yeah. I think, you know, we were talking about this off the air a little bit, that feeling of gratefulness, if you're fortunate enough to have it or to recognize it,
yes,
no matter how awful things might be, most people can find and try to find something good. And that feeling of gratefulness can really lift you up and inspire you. And inspiring is what creates these new kinds of ideas for people, entrepreneurs especially. If you were to say, you know, what am I grateful for? I mean, the list is too long, but one of the things I'm grateful for is the talented and intelligent people that I get to work with when we're developing new and creative ideas. And of course, you know, medical advancements that allow people to live longer. You know, I have a sister with a bilateral lung transplant. Astonishing, right? Lots of people with medical problems that are solved now. So, of course, I'm grateful for Lola and for my health and for, you know, just a multitude of things. But in part, that feeling of being able to be inspired by others around me leads to entrepreneurial developments,
and it's contagious when you are open in your heart and you're grateful. It's contagious.
It is. So, all right, here I'd like to tell you this Thanksgiving story. Okay. We're going to wind the clock back a little bit.
All right. What year are we in?
It's 1953. Okay. Now we're going to go back in history. Okay. A bit, but I just want to start this off. It's 1953. I want you to imagine 10 railway cars full of perishable goods, perishable, frozen goods. And the only solution at hand at the moment is to keep them running because that's when the refrigeration works. And so you shuttle 10 railway cars full of perishable items between Nebraska and the East Coast over and over and over again until your executives can figure out how to solve this problem. Okay.
That's problematic.
It's problematic. 260 tons of, we might as well say it because we're talking about Thanksgiving, turkey. 260 tons of turkey, frozen turkey.
Many turkeys.
We had a bad holiday season for the company Swanson, right? And so this is a story that you'll be able to tell around the dinner table without getting into an argument with your family, without talking about politics. And it's fun and it's got some interesting parts to it. Okay. 10 railway cars back and forth between Nebraska and the East Coast with frozen turkeys in them, and a bunch of executives, scratching their heads, going, what are we going to do with these frozen turkeys? Now, you might think you know the answer to this already, and you might, but did you know the history behind it? Okay. So without giving away the answer, let's just say that this problem and solution started as early as 1925. Okay.
Is that Clarence Birdseye?
It is Clarence Birdseye. You're absolutely right. So 1925, Clarence Birdseye is a naturalist, right? And he's getting complaints from people, I imagine, about freezing fish. When you freeze fish and you thaw it, it loses its texture, it loses its flavor. So Clarence Birdseye comes up with a solution, something called the double belt flash freezing method, apparently. He comes up with a solution to quickly freeze fish. All right, maybe that doesn't sound like much. How am I linking frozen fish to frozen turkeys in 10 railway cars, 20 something years apart from each other, almost 30 years apart? All right. So what's the problem and what's the connection? The problem is that most people didn't have ice boxes in those days, right?
Right,
We're not talking refrigerators, folks. We're talking
ice
boxes.
boxes, and sometimes you had that little freezer component up above that you had to thaw all the time, remember?
Yeah, defrost, right, exactly.
Or
So
defrost, yeah.
people would come and on a wagon. In fact, I'm dating myself here, but when my father, who's now long gone, was a little boy, he used to ride on the back of the ice wagon and help deliver the ice. That was
Oh, really?
one of his jobs.
That's
Yeah. And they would bring this block of ice and put it in your ice chest, right? It was your ice
way
box.
to refrigerate, yeah.
Right. So not many people had ice boxes, and refrigeration vehicles were rare. So keeping fish frozen or keeping foods frozen had to be done in a way that when you thawed them out, they hadn't lost their flavor and their texture.
And they were safe to eat.
And they were safe to eat, exactly. So now let's get to, let's say, 19. You pick a year. Did you have something in between there you wanted to say?
Well, because it kind of all started with Maxim sky plates on airlines. That's how it all started. And so they had a special oven built on airlines to cook these sky plates, which usually had a protein, a vegetable, and a starch. So you got a three-course meal. It was warm, it was tasty. The challenge was, how do you keep like fried chicken crispy? And so I guess they conquered that challenge. And so that's how it started
Wasn't
on
that,
an airplane.
wasn't his oven called like the Whirlwind Oven or something?
Something like that. Yeah, Maxim actually, I guess, built that oven for these
That,
sky plates.
I think a WL Maxim or somebody. Do I have that right? Let me check. Yeah, WL Maxim in 1944. So
Okay.
we went from the frozen fish in 1925. There was something in the 30s. I forget who it was, but there was something that happened in the 30s to bring that forward. And then by 1944, World War II, the Maxim food systems, right? And they sold those prepackaged frozen dinners, as you said. Now they sold them only to military and civilian air carrier on civilian air carriers.
And Navy, yeah,
Yep.
exactly.
We still don't have these frozen dinners in the home yet. We're still talking about where they are sold other places. Those dinners were called strato plates or sky plates. The ones you're talking about, strato plates or sky plates, and they were reheated in the planes. on those whirlwind electric ovens, which was basically a precursor to a convection oven, what we called a convection oven. Okay.
And they had shelves that they could cook six at a time, and then they built bigger ovens that cook more at a time.
It's amazing what you can find when you look this stuff up, right?
It is.
Okay. 1947. Well, first of all, he planned to expand that into a larger commercial, wide, worldwide, or at least nationwide effort, but he passed away before he was able to do that. So in 1947, Jack Fisher comes on the scene as an entrepreneur, and he has something called Friggy Dinners.
That's what I have been
Friggy
called.
Dinners. And those are marketed exclusively in bars and taverns with the idea that you don't have to pay a cook and you can still feed your hungry patrons, right? Okay. 1949, right? We still aren't up to Swanson yet. 1949, we have Albert and Mayer Bernstein, the brothers, who founded Frozen Dinners Inc. And they produced more than 400,000 dinners under a label, which I'm sorry, folks, if this is politically incorrect. I can't change the guy's label. One-eyed Eskimo. Don't know
That,
why.
yeah.
Do
So
you know
that was,
why?
so no, I don't, but those were sold in stores at the time
They were sold in
or
stores,
gift or sold to the military.
400,000 dinners. But I'm not exactly sure. Those were sold at the home level. So in 1949 is when they finally started to hit home level. By 1954, after forming Quaker State Food Corp, that these two brothers formed, they sold more than 2 million prepackaged items of those dinners in the stores. Okay.
That's a lot.
That almost brings us up to Swanson. By the time, right around that time, C.A. Swanson and Sons was, they already were well known for their poultry and chicken pot pies, right?
Ah,
Yeah, but they'd had
we
this
all
man.
remember those as children, right? We all
Yeah, chicken,
remember them.
oh, Swanson Dinners. Yeah, I mean, even the ads, I remember the ads for them. So right around this time, they kind of get this idea that, oh, we're already famous for this stuff and somebody else is doing this. But they're not thinking much about, well, let's make some TV dinners, right? So
Oh,
this,
no, weren't.
no, so TV dinners didn't exist yet. So now these have been selling, they've been doing well. Swanson goes into the holiday season, doesn't sell as many turkeys as they'd like to, and they are stuck with 520,000 pounds of frozen turkey.
A lot.
A lot. And what are they going to do with it? So they decide, well, they don't decide. First of all, they shuttle them back and forth from Nebraska to the East Coast because
To keep them refrigerated,
that's all they
right?
could do. The train railway cars only worked, they only refrigerated while they were traveling back and forth.
Amazing.
So one thing I have to say about this is it's pretty amazing that they even figured that out. While, like, hey, what are we going to do with these frozen birds while we figure out what to do, right? So now there are several versions of who inspired this. I mean, there's no doubt that at this point where they decided to do this and market these dinners, that it became today, whatever, a multi-billion or trillion-dollar industry, right? It's a quarter of a trillion-dollar industry today.
Is it?
A
Wow.
quarter of a trillion dollars.
Still.
Now we have to credit, Stouffer's and Banquet for jumping on the bandwagon and producing those
Hungry
dinners.
man.
Hungry
Goodness.
man. I mean, you name it. People who have dinners in trays
Yeah.
would, got there because of this idea, because of a
That's
problem. So when we're talking about inspiration and entrepreneurship, this is the kind of thing that is a defining moment. Okay.
finding a solution.
It is finding a solution. So, I want to talk more about that in the second half. We'll take a short break, and I promise to let Deborah talk more, so that you can get to know a little bit about Deborah and meet her more. But at this point, I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. If you can stay with us for the second half, please do that. And you can always reach out to us for help, of course, after.
We're always available.
We are.
I think, Francis, you should give out your phone number.
So the number here is 413-773-3333.
And then what about your website?
Sure, they can reach us at hugyourmoney.com. Hug like everybody needs a hug. Happy Thanksgiving, and please stay with us for the second half of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is sponsored by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. I'm Frances Rayum, and my guest slash colleague joining us today is Deborah Emerson. She's our public access specialist. Welcome back, Deborah.
Thank you.
We are talking about Thanksgiving. We're actually talking about a fun Thanksgiving story that has to do with a solution of having 260 tons of frozen turkey left. If you might feel that way the day after Thanksgiving yourself. At least today we can put that in a freezer. But back in the day, that was problematic. And so it led through some inspiration to the development of what is known as the TV dinner today in the early 1950s. And as we've talked about, there's a little history of people doing things that were similar to that, but not marketing it in the home until Swanson started to do it. And that was their solution to trucking these turkeys back and forth on railroad cars from Nebraska to the East Coast. So 1950s, they start packaging this stuff in little mini TV boxes, complete with the knobs and everything. And they target women, and they're 98 cents a piece.
And it was a brilliant campaign. No pots, no pans, no dishes. You can throw the tray away when you're done. What's not to like about that?
And the prestige that everybody wanted a TV at that point. So it's
yeah, TV sales went up. And TV trays to sit in front of the TV went up.
And it was all marketed at women. And today, now where we have Instapots and microwaves and, you know, air fryers and everything else, sous vide ovens, whatever we have. Today, we laugh at this, but their big pitch was dinner in 25 minutes.
98 cents.
For 98 cents. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the inspiration behind this. And then I really do want to share a Thanksgiving story or two with people. Just sometimes when I do this, people write back to us, or they call and leave messages on the office line saying, hey, I heard your Thanksgiving story. I can beat that. This is what I've got. But and these are really, you know, it's a difficult time sometimes for people to get together with their family. Other times people love it. Sometimes people aren't getting together with family at all. I had an assistant who worked for me for many years, and every Thanksgiving, even though he had a family, what he did was volunteer at the local soup kitchen.
Oh, that's a lovely gift to give back.
When his kids were small, he had them come with him, and they learned the value.
A good lesson. Yes.
Yeah, it was really, really sweet. Anyway, let's talk about the inspiration behind the TV dinner for a moment. So there are several different ideas about how this happened. What happened, you know, the fact that it became an enormous success is undebatable, right? But how it happened, who was responsible for it, is in question. There was a man named Jerry Thomas. Jerry Thomas was getting paid $200 a month working for Swanson. He'd been there a few years, and he was a salesman. That was his job. One version of this, the idea, is that Jerry Swanson sees this frozen food aluminum tray at a distributor's warehouse.
I think he also took a transatlantic flight or something, and he noticed it in the airlines.
That's the other guy.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
The Swanson guy. Yeah. So oh. Jerry Thomas, actually getting paid $200 a month as a salesman,
yeah,
at a distributor's warehouse in Pittsburgh, and he sees this aluminum tray. Meanwhile, the turkeys are going back and forth from Nebraska to the East Coast.
And nobody's linking it yet.
And Jerry Thomas goes, aluminum tray, frozen dinners. I don't know, maybe we can use these turkeys for this frozen dinner thing. He brings the idea to the Swanson brothers, and Swanson says, yeah, this is great. We're going to forge ahead with this idea. Now, the legend has it, if you will, it's probably legend by now, that Jerry Thomas was paid $1,000 for his idea and got a promotion.
Oh.
$250 billion today, $1,000 in a promotion. But the other, some multiple sources, including people that work at Swanson and some of the Swanson family members, credit the two brothers, Gilbert and Clark Swanson, themselves with this idea, stating that Gilbert was inspired by that airline food on that trip that he took to visit his banker. Yeah. So There's a book called How Cadillac Got Its Fins and Other True Tales from the Annals of Business and Marketing. It's written by Jack Mingo. And Jack Mingo claims that Gilbert named the TV dinner after hosting a party at his house where people were balancing the food on their laps in front of a TV. Who knows? In any case,
Yeah.
somebody inspired it, and somehow it became the TV dinner we know today. Okay.
And then they decorated the box as if it was a TV, which
They
was
sure
genius.
did. You know, here's this guy selling enormous amounts of units. In 1954, they sold 10 million units, excuse me. And in 1955, 25 million units a year later. And it
Wow.
just kept going exponentially. And as I said, now Stouffer's and other companies have jumped on board. If that leads you to bring your memory back to being a kid, now I know for a lot of our viewers and listeners, you know, they don't remember any of this. But for many of our listeners and viewers, they totally remember TV dinners. If I said Salisbury steak to somebody,
Oh, definitely TV dinner
that was
item.
TV dinner. And you brought up fried chicken TV dinner, right? What were some of
Yeah.
the other ones? Do you remember any of the other ones?
It was beef stew. It was, yeah, just meat products, I think. Chicken, turkey,
Gray
pork,
peas, lovely things like that. Yes.
cheese, potatoes. And it wasn't until the future that they actually thought of putting a dessert component
Oh,
in
do you
there.
know when that
When,
happened?
yeah, when they sold it to Campbell's.
Ah.
Campbell's was the one that produced the dessert component, like applesauce or stewed apples, whatever it was. And I always ate the dessert component first.
Yep.
But then that parlayed its way into making breakfast trays. So you could do this for breakfast too. It was very good marketing.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
You brought up off camera the idea of the aluminum pans and lead, and I was like, honey, it's 1953. They don't care about lead at this point. They're just dinner in 25 minutes for busy women, you know.
And now I think they're put Campbell's didn't use aluminum. They used some sort of other material. It was like a,
Yeah.
I don't know if it was plastic. I don't know what it was, but.
Well, even that is very interesting because Campbell's is famous for soup. They're not putting
And they
pans in
actually
these
put some
trays, but
soup. They put some soup in their trays.
they did?
Oh, yes.
No
There's a little
kidding.
bit of soup, a protein, starch, vegetable, and a little dessert.
I had no idea. Okay, the things you learn.
Saw some pictures.
Oh my gosh. Okay, now I said maybe we'd tell some Thanksgiving stories, and you said, oh, I don't have one that you like. Did anything come to mind?
No.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
I know
Yeah.
you.
So I remember Thanksgivings, and this is much like a lot of people, you know, the world has gotten smaller. Children move away from us easily now, and families have, you know, reduced in size. And so, what I remember as a young girl, having 25 people at the house, you know, coming in from Boston or whatever, all the family around this enormous table with the kids at the second table. And, you know, I remember all of that. That's not it today. I mean, today, you know, we have two or three people, or we do a Friendsgiving, or, you know, maybe a
Yeah.
family. So, but the, you know, cost is still a factor. Actually, without getting into the math, this year your TV dinner will cost your TV dinner, your turkey dinner will cost you about $90. Turkey is actually down this year in price.
Is
So,
it?
oh yeah, it's way down. It's like a
I'm
buck
sorry.
a pound in a lot of places now. So anyway, so that's the idea. Now, I have this one story I'll try and share relatively quickly with you that has to do with my niece and her first cooking episode at a Thanksgiving get together. And to understand this, you have to understand that my niece Anne is just the sweetest soul, right? Her heart is so warm and so dear. And she, when she gets laughing, now we're only 3 years apart, so we grew up almost like sisters, right? She's 3 years younger than me because my sister Diane is 18 years my elder. So we laughed and laughed and laughed as children. And when we would get laughing, it was hysterical. But I love stories like this that unfold. So Anne is about to come to Thanksgiving dinner and she's old enough to cook something. And she says, I want to cook all the pies. I will bring the desserts. Don't anybody cook any pies. I'm bringing them. Okay. Now we only have about six people at that Thanksgiving, but she makes four pies, two
Oh.
apple, a pumpkin, and something else I don't remember. The apple and the pumpkin, however, were very memorable. Anne comes completely naive about what she's really bringing. She's baked these pies and she comes, and we're kind of looking at the pies, and the apple pie is literally black. It looks like lava.
Black.
Okay, it's at the top of it is completely burned without exaggeration. And the squash pie looks normal. So I go over and I say, I see that you brought these pies, honey. Oh, that's lovely. Wait, what is this one? Oh, that's apple, she says. Now she's got no idea this is going to be funny to me, right? It's apple. Okay, well, it's a little dark. Yeah, I had a little problem with my oven. Well, what happened? Well, I started cooking the pie and I cooked it for 45 minutes, like they said, and it didn't seem like it was cooked. So I called my friend who cooks at the local restaurant. Kevin was his name. I called Kevin and I said, what about this pie? And he says, well, it should be cooked by now. So she
yeah.
takes matters into her own hands and she turns her oven up to 600 degrees. I remember her line. I said, you turned your oven up to 600 degrees. And she said, just for the last hour. Or half hour, whatever it was. Hour or half
oh,
hour.
That's horrible. My oven doesn't even go up to 600 degrees.
Oh, mine does, but it's clean. I mean, at that point, you're just
oh,
locked
that's how you clean
cleaning
your
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, Ann, you didn't cook the pie. You cleaned it, okay? 600 degrees. But we move on from there a little bit. Like, I try to console her. It'll be okay, Ann. What about this squash pie? No, pumpkin pie. Pumpkin
pumpkin.
pie. Now, you could not make this story up. I slice into the pumpkin pie and it just fills itself back in.
Is it raw?
Completely soupy. I don't know if it's raw or not, but I start to ask her, what about this pumpkin pie, Anne? And she starts to tell me the story. Well, I was going to make it from that can, you know, that can of pumpkin that, you know, Nana makes the pies from. But I
and there's
thought,
a recipe on the
I
back
don't,
of that.
Yeah, but she said, I don't think I want to bring a canned pie to Thanksgiving. So I had this pumpkin left over from Halloween.
And she used that?
She used that. Now you have to
She's
understand.
obviously not a baker.
No, you have to understand that my sister Diane, although she's a lovely person, her idea of gourmet cuisine was, you know, boxed macaroni and cheese. So
Ooh.
these kids really grew up separate from our household, really not learning how to cook anything. So anyway, I hope that this wasn't too silly for people, that we gave them some Thanksgiving things to think about and to enjoy, and maybe something they can laugh about at the table. And also that they got to meet a little bit of Deborah Emerson. And I hope that you'll come back and join us at a time when you can do most of the talking.
Absolutely. Well, I am an only child, and so I never had crowds of 25 at my dinner table. So, you know, my life was a little quieter.
Very,
Here is possible.
very different experience, and you didn't have to
Yeah.
eat the pies.
No, my mom made mincemeat pies, which I didn't like.
Anyway, I think we should say together Happy Thanksgiving. What do you think?
I think we can.
Okay.
Yes.
One,
so happy
two.
Thanksgiving to everybody. I'm so happy to meet all of you and to be part of this process with Francis. And you can contact us anytime.
So happy Thanksgiving. And I do mean that from the bottom of our hearts. And you can always reach out to us. We are here to help, whether it's Thanksgiving expenses or some other financial thing. We are here to help at hugyourmoney.com. And you can reach us, of course, at 413-773-3333. May you have a wonderful, a grateful, a safe and loving holiday season. And we will see you the next time on Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor.
Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is sponsored by Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented. Financial coaching and more information at hugyourmoney.com.